I am living proof that there is nothing impossible with God. I want to share with you tonight a teaching that the Lord gave me like that. I can't snap my fingers, but that quickly. It was at the last Reform Rochester meeting. And during the worship, which was excellent, the Lord very clearly spoke three words to me: rebirth, renewal, restoration. And in that moment, I had tonight's teaching. If I had to title this message and title it, it would be Calling Back the Pieces of Your Soul. And I'll tell you, my own experience needed that and still needs that. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for the ways that you minister to us through your word, the truth, the life, and the revelation it brings. I thank you that it's been such nourishment to my soul. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that your word and your love and your presence would touch the heart of every man, woman, and child here tonight, Lord God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
You're dismissed.
Thank you. She did really, really well.
So as I said, this is a story of my life, in a way. 46 years ago in July, I came to know the Lord. And when I did, in that moment, the Lord got someone who was bitter and broken, who had been involved in the occult, who had led a promiscuous lifestyle, who had lost a child through adoption and a child through a late-term miscarriage. Someone who had had three diagnosed breakdowns. I kid all the time and say that Ron and I were drunk and crazy, but it was the truth. I was. My sister just referred to that the other day, told somebody how crazy I was. She would know because she lived through part of it with me. At the time that I came to know the Lord, there was no one out there who was teaching the truth about inner healing and deliverance, especially in the church. And so much of what I went through just on my face before God, because I realized how desperately broken I was, and that there was nothing bar the supernatural that could put me back together again. And so the Lord and I, led by the Holy Spirit, walked through this. And it took a long time because there was no one else. And I can't say that I did it perfectly, but I was desperate to be healed. And when we are desperate and we go to God, he meets us right there with whatever we need. And in the ensuing years, as some of you know, my passion has been to see people walk out their lives with Christ in freedom, whole again, with all the pieces put back in place. And when you've got other people with you that believe the same thing and can share with you the details and to say, God's not a respecter of persons. If he's done it for me, he will do it for you. It goes much faster Some of you may just be starting that process. It won't take you the many years it took me. Well, for one thing, I don't think we've got time for the body of Christ to be ready. And so there's an accelerated work that's happening right now in the body of putting God's people back together again. And in a minute, you'll know why something else clicked into place tonight is a surprise for me. I didn't understand coming to the Lord the concept of being triune, of having a body, of having a spirit, of having a soul. The first thing that needed to happen in my spirit. I was reared in the Roman Catholic tradition. I was a really good little Catholic girl. I was. I did all the things necessary to be a really good little Catholic girl. I, at times, went to Mass every single day. And at that time, in order to take communion, you had to fast from midnight. So I would go to Mass early in the morning, bring my breakfast to school. I got special permission to go in a classroom and eat my breakfast. And I was diligent in that. For 2 years, I went to Mass every single day. That didn't do it for me, though. And then I realized there's got to be something else. God, show me who you are. And I used to beg God. And I used to stare at the statues in the church and think, maybe one will move and I will see something supernatural, because my heart, my spirit longed for that. None of them moved. And I was disappointed. Yeah, it would have been kind of scary, actually. I read the lives of the saints. I prayed that I could be martyred. I prayed that I could be martyred without it hurting. Because that meant you would go straight to heaven. So there was this consciousness of God. But none of the things that I went through, none of the things I did, made any difference. And then when I was 15, on November 23rd of 1963, in the middle of the night, there was a knock on the door. And it was several state troopers come to say that my father had been killed in a car accident. And it was just like you would see on TV. And my sister and I were huddled together, weeping. And I remember running downstairs, just completely devastated by the loss of my dad. And my mother turned around and pointed her finger and said, "We'll have none of that." And so in it went. And that was the first break. When I wasn't allowed to mourn the death of my father. At age 16, I had my first breakdown. And my sister, at age 13, got an ulcer because we weren't allowed to mourn the death of our father. And my life from that moment on began to break apart into pieces. Everything I did from then on caused it by my bad choices to break into bigger and more pieces. I didn't know exactly what to do. One of the things that had happened, though, was I became very embittered towards God. Because as a good little Catholic girl, I believed God could do anything. And I didn't understand why he couldn't have stopped my father from being killed. Part of that happened as a result of my mother and her desire to protect us, not telling us that my dad had died driving drunk. If I had known that truth, I don't know what kind of change it would have made but it would have made some kind of change. But since I didn't have that information, I was convinced it was God that did it. And so I turned my back on the only one that could have put my pieces back together. And I'm not going to give you the details of the next 10 years because I don't want you to be defiled, quite honestly. But for the next 10 years, I lived in hell. Some of it by my own choosing. Some of it just straight up demonic attack. Some of it because of further trauma that happened in my life. But I had 10 years of hell, starting when I was 15 years old. But then, when I was 25 years old, someone started telling me about Jesus. Ron and I both. It was a couple that we had known for years. He had been backslidden and returned to his faith. She had not known the Lord. And they were determined to see us turn around. So the very first thing, before anyone's pieces can come back together, is we need rebirth. Our spirits need to come back to life again. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no putting the pieces back together. I went to, in those 10 years, numerous psychiatrists and counselors who gave me a line of malarkey is the kindest thing I can say about it. And most of them were crazier than I was. Now, I'm not opposed to counseling. I do a lot of counseling myself. But if they're not telling you the truth about Jesus and the truth about yourself, it's not ever going to work. I started going to this Bible study at Hope Lutheran Church that I got talked into going to. Those meetings were on a Wednesday. My regular psychiatry appointment was on a Tuesday. And at that time, back in the early 70s, do you guys remember the I'm okay, you're okay philosophy? Some of you are too young to remember that, but those of you who aren't, it was very popular. And that was what this guy told me. I'm okay, you're okay. And I'm like, neither one of us are okay. I know you're not okay, and I know I'm not okay. And I would leave there weeping because I thought, what help and hope do I have? And I would go on Wednesday night to the Bible study, and the pastor would say, you're a mess. You are without hope. You are dead in your spirit. You're a sinner, doomed to go to hell unless you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And I left there with hope. You would think what I would want to hear was on Tuesdays, not on Wednesdays. What I heard on Tuesdays didn't help me. What I heard on Wednesdays gave me hope because there was someone who was greater than I was, who knew everything about me, who loved me and could forgive me. And for the first time, I began to have hope. My spiritual rebirth did not happen without a battle, though. I had immersed myself pretty heavily in the dark side. And the enemy does not like to give up his own. I will just say that. And so another breakdown happened. And I would have the truth. And it felt like my soul was on a huge rubber band. Like I would have it one minute. Great. Yes. I've got it. I believe. And then boing, over I went to the other side. And I'd be like, there's no God. There's no one that can help me out of here. And the enemy would rehearse all of the things that had happened to me in those 15 years, or 10 years rather, of hell. And then one day, I got it. in the morning, yes, Jesus is Lord. He can forgive me. He loves me. He died for me. And then I kind of held on. And it stayed. And it has never wavered since 1972. It stayed. Let me just say, this is not part of this sermon, but I feel like I just want to say something. What had happened prior to it staying? One night, I may have shared this before, it will give you a glimpse how crazy I was. I thought that if after dark I closed my eyes, I would die. I know it's crazy. I was crazy. There was no truth in that. So I would stay awake all night long because I was convinced if I closed my eyes, I would die. One night, just in desperation, I turned the television on, and there was Rex Humbard. Some of the gray-haired people in the room will remember who he is as well. He was an old gospel preacher, and on at 2 in the morning, you know, the only place he could probably get a slot in those days. And he was talking about repentance. And before I knew what had happened to me, I was on my face, on the floor, repenting. Let me just say, well, we've heard it here recently, great words about repentance. There's a whole bunch of people out there that call themselves Christians that don't think they have to repent anymore. That is the first step to spiritual rebirth, is to repent of your sins. And I repented of the good stuff, the bad stuff, the ugly stuff, the in-between stuff of pulling my sister's hair and everything. I was down for a long time, let me just say. I still wasn't saved. The truth had not stayed in place. But that night was a turning point because I saw myself as I was in truth, a sinner in need of God. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to our spirits. And it is where we all have to start. I'm very fond of a scripture in Ezekiel. Some of you are familiar with it in Ezekiel 16 that talks about God walking by and seeing us abandoned on the roadside, covered with our own blood, rejected by our families and abandoned there. Isaiah 16. 4-6. And it says, God walked by and spoke to me, it's recorded, and made a pronouncement, and it was this: live. Live. And that's exactly what happened to me. God said, live. And I came back to life, and a peace was put back in place. But you know, there's more than that coming to the Lord that needs to be reborn. There's the death of the dreams and the visions that happen in our lives before we know the Lord. The things get knocked out of place before we come to know the Lord, by trauma, by lies, by any number of things. I think about Abraham is such a good example of that. Here he was given these incredible promises of covenant that his inheritance, his progeny would be more than the grains of the sand. That's an incountable, immeasurable number. And yet one day, God says to him, take your son, your only son, up to this mountain and kill him. That is death of a vision. Abraham had had great promises. He had had a long wait for the promise to come to pass. He had overcome impossible obstacles for Isaac to be born. He'd taken a detour to Egypt and came back with Hagar, which took him on another little detour. But here was Isaac now, his son, the promised seed. And God said, take this son, the promised son, and kill him. When Abraham went up that mountain, he didn't know that there was going to be a provision. We find out in Hebrews, he thought that God would resurrect Isaac and bring him back to life. But there was the ram in the thicket is the provision. I read something a while ago, and I've shared it at our home meeting. Don't let God's not yet become a hiding place for unbelief. Let me say that again. Don't let God's not yet become a hiding place for unbelief. I had a dream when I was a little girl. I wanted to be a teacher. I used to line up my teddy bears and my dolls. I loved school supplies. Valerie knows. There used to be a store called Scranum's. I liked that store better than the toy store. Stationery, paper goods, stars, stickers, stamps. I wanted to be a teacher. From the time I was a little girl. And then things changed. And the dream that I had as a little girl seemed very, very impossible. I actually had dropped out of school, of high school. I had had two breakdowns. And school was so traumatic to me that I could not sit in a classroom without completely falling apart. Unless you've experienced that, it's hard to imagine how that can happen. But it did. And so I left school. No teaching for somebody who doesn't even have a high school diploma. And that dream died. It seemed like there was no way in the world that I could ever be a teacher. So I put my dream on the shelf and left it there. Until I was reborn in my spirit. And the first thing that I was really happy about is there was a book involved with this deal. I'm like, it's got to be good because there's a book. And then one day I was reading in Exodus, and all of a sudden before my eyes, the chapter I was reading became an outline right before my eyes. And I'm like, that's weird. Maybe I'm still crazy. But an outline, that's what teachers do, is make outlines. And I got really excited about that. Then I was approached by Mike and Jeannie Warren to teach junior church. And I'm like, why would you choose me? And they said, the Lord told us to. We think you'll be a great junior church teacher. And so I taught junior church for many years. Then I was offered a ministry of going into nursing homes and teaching the old people Bible studies. And I did that. And then there was a ladies' Bible study, and I started teaching there. And then We started having home meetings, and I was allowed to teach in the homes. And then the church I went to started a school, and I was asked to be a teacher in the school, and a principal, and a teacher together. That's this whole gray over here, by the way. Just, this is that couple of years that that happened. And then Al referred to it in May of 2012, I was ordained as a teacher. Six, rather. And then tonight. And I heard another piece of my soul click into place tonight. Because he doesn't want to just cause our spirits to be reborn. He wants to breathe life onto your dreams, onto the visions that you've had for your life, onto the hopes and the passions and the things that may have been bubbling up in you since you were a child. And it seemed like there was no way in this world it would ever happen. But it did to me, and it can to you. The second thing the Lord spoke to me that night at the worship service was renewal. This is the only definition I got. I'm really slacking off. And it simply just means to make new again and to repair or repeat and revive. Thank you, because it's probably going to happen again. Let's look at Romans 12. I love this chapter too. I say that all the time. I know I do. I love it all. Excuse me. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good, acceptable, and perfect in his sight for you," it says in the Amplified. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Let God change you into a new person by changing the way you think." You know, there's a saying that says you are what you eat. There's some truth to that. But you are what you think. And there's growing proof and evidence of that by Christian neurosurgeons. If you've read anything by Dr. Carolyn Leaf, they've proven that you can actually change the electrical currents and pathways in your brain by what you think. Proven. And it says, be transformed. Be made new by the renewing of your mind. Now, I told you where I was, right, when I came to the Lord. I needed a lot of mind transforming, because I had to overcome my upbringing, the things that I was told as a child. I've shared with you many times about how my mom would say if we spilled our milk or something, "Well, that was stupid," till I thought I was stupid. I had to change that kind of thinking. The things that have been spoken to me, that you'll never learn, or that you will never get better, or that you will never... all those lies that were spoken to me is part of my upbringing. My training in Catholicism, there were a lot of things that I had believed and had almost been indoctrinated in that needed to change. The way I thought about things, my own thoughts, pretty screwed up there for a while. Lies from the enemy. All kinds of things in my mind needed to be changed. First of all, things about God. He did not kill my father. That was the big one of the biggest things that he had to change. He was not the one who killed my father. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways." God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. It doesn't mean it's always going to make sense to you. God can tell us still some unusual things. But his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And we sometimes think so far below what God's truth is, I think. For ourselves, for others, how we see God, how we perceive ourselves. We need to challenge our belief system every day by the Word of God. And I'll tell you, it talks about the Word of God being a cleansing. And it will change our mind and our thought patterns. If we start falling into agreement with the truth of Scripture, our minds will be changed. And it says your life will be transformed as a result of that. Renewed minds will transform your life. When you wake up every day and you greet our Father, "Lord, hi, here I am. What are we doing today?" That's mind changing. It's not, "Oh, woe is me. Oh, it's Monday." No. I have a relationship with the God of the universe. He loves me. He has things for me to do. He has things for you to do. He loves all of you. He's not angry at me, doesn't want to squish me like a bug, like I was taught in school. One toe over the line, squish like a bug. No grace anywhere. That was a lie. That had to change. And that took some time. And the what I was taught also, that if you were not a Roman Catholic, you were not saved. The very first time I started going to the Lutheran Church, this is the honest truth, I was kind of like, "I hope the lightning bolt doesn't hit me right here in the middle of things." I had to change my thinking about that, about myself, and about other people, allowing him to show me his heart for others, to speak to me about other people, to see others the way he sees them. The demoniac, Jesus saw him clothed and in his right mind, with a call on his life. And that's what we need to be thinking about each other, so that we can encourage one another in our destinies. We need to take a stand against things that are not true. And sometimes there have been days when I've been attacked in my mind. It doesn't happen very much anymore, thankfully, but it can still happen. And I would just have to go around the house all day and say, "No, in Jesus' name, no, no, and no to you, and no to you," and spend the whole day taking back ground, fighting and battling with the enemy. No, no, I am not giving place to that anymore. We need to also repent for that, by the way, believing lies. And that can be an ongoing thing. As God reveals truth to you and you realize your belief system was tainted, tell him you're sorry for believing a lie. Ask him to forgive you and pour in more truth. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it talks to us about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. And in the Amplified, it says the strongholds of human reasoning. We live in an area where intellect is held at a high value. and human reasoning with that. You know, we've got universities and corporations and all kinds of things right in this area. And we cannot yield to human reasoning if it goes against what God says in his word. It also says destroy false arguments. Destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Then capture those rebellious, insubordinate thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. When I hear the term insubordinate, it seems like a military term to me. You know, you're being insubordinate, I'm going to court-martial you. I'm going to put you under arrest. And that's what we need to do to our thoughts that are not lining up with or obeying Christ. I'm going to put you under arrest. And then notice it didn't say just push them down. It says destroy them. Take no captives. Destroy those thoughts. Because if you don't, they could destroy you. And I am proof positive of that attempt. And the third thing the Lord spoke to me was restoration. Oh, here is another little. The act of replacing in a former state, or reestablishing, renewal, and recovery. All last summer, the Lord had me studying the 23rd Psalm. And over again, I kept reading and being drawn back to, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Over and over and over again. He refreshes and restores my soul. I don't have cable TV, but when I travel, if I'm in a hotel that does, I love watching HGTV, which is the Home and Garden channel. And I especially like Rehab Addict. She's a little blonde girl with muscles, though, I'll tell you. And she lives in Michigan, I think, and she finds houses, and whatever year they were built in, she restores them back to the period in which they were built. She doesn't remodel. Neither does God. God does not remodel. God restores. So when she goes into this house, there might be layers and layers and layers of paint and wallpaper. And she takes them all down carefully until she gets to what it was meant to be originally. She knocks out walls that were put up to cover and hide things. And underneath it is this beautiful fireplace that needs some work, but she restores it to the way it was meant to be. That's what God does to us. He takes the time to remove layers and layers and layers of paint and wallpaper. He knocks down walls, all the things that we've allowed to be built up to cover who we think we shouldn't be or was not good enough to be. And he restores us back to the way we were meant to be. All the way back. Our soul needs to be restored for a few reasons. The Lord gave me this picture a while ago. Mason and I, you all know, have a very close relationship. And when he was little, I used to watch him 4 days a week until he started school. And he loved to play marbles. And so we had this big wooden chest of marbles and a string, and we'd put a circle. I really don't know how to play marbles, so we invented things. And we had a wonderful time down on the floor. But we'd make this string, and then we'd put all the marbles in, and you're supposed to, you know, ping them out, and whoever gets the most out. But he liked to take the biggest marble. He always had a few like this big, and stand up on his tippy toes and drop them down into the pile of marbles. And he would win quite often doing that. But the Lord said, that's like your what happens to your soul. All your pieces are where they belong. And then something comes along and drops down on you. And all of a sudden, all the pieces go every which and every way. It can be disappointment that does that. Dead things by the wayside that you think will never come back to life. It can be our wrong thinking. The agreements that we have that knock things out of place. It can be trauma. I didn't mention that I had been molested as a child by two cousins, one male, one female. That knocked a few things out of place. It can be the defenses that we've put in place for self-protection. It can be vows and soul ties that we make. It can be all of those things that happen to us and cause us pain. All those wrong choices, and bit by bit by bit, our soul gets scattered. In my own life, I've had, in the last 2 or 2.5 years, an incredibly huge restoration. I had mentioned that I had had a child out of wedlock. You guys all know that story. That I was forced to give up for adoption. And a year ago, this month, I found my daughter. It's a long, long story. After 50 years. I had had 4 pregnancies. My daughter that I had given up for adoption. Then Alan, the curly-haired guy that was, well, not so curly anymore. The guy here. And then the baby that we lost late in the pregnancy that was a boy. And Sarah, my daughter Sarah. And I didn't know how many pieces of my soul were missing concerning my children. Those that I had carried in my womb until the Lord started to put them back into place. And so first was Amy. And just like tonight, I began to feel clicking of things being put back into place. And then James Sheridan, that you guys met, that was here a year ago, he's adopted me as his American mother. He happens to be the exact same age as the boy we lost. God's brought me back to having 4 children again. He took down the paint and the wallpaper, the walls that had been put up, all those things that had happened to me over the years that had caused my soul to be in pieces and has brought it back together and is still, as I testified, even tonight, putting something else in place. In Isaiah 38:17, it says this, "Behold, it was for my peace that I had intense bitterness, but you have loved back my life from the pit of corruption and nothingness, for you have cast all of my sins, and I add all of my wounds and all of my traumas and all of my wrong thinking behind your back." And he's loved me back to wholeness. I want to pray for us all. But first I want to listen to a song that has meant so much to me recently. And listen for this line. When I thought I'd lost me, you knew where I'd left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces and put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. Father, this night, you are calling us to life once again. Father, I thank you for the incredible life-giving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, I just speak over my brothers and sisters, live. In the name of Jesus, live. And I pray, O God, that every dashed dream, that every vision that has died, for every disappointment, O God, that you would cause new life to spring up. For everything that was put on the shelf, Lord, I pray that you would breathe new life into the visions of the souls here tonight, O God. Those things that seemed impossible, we say live in the name of Jesus. Live, come back to life, the resurrection power of Jesus in every vision, in every dashed dream. Come back. And Father, we pray that you would saturate our minds with truth. Father, that we would know instantly by your Spirit what is a lie and what is truth. In these days, O God, we need discernment more than ever. And I pray, O God, that you would stir up great discernment within your people. And Father, as we fall into agreement with your truth, that our lives will be transformed. Lord, that we will become more than we ever thought we would become, but we will become all that you knew that we were, O God. And Father, I pray restoration. I pray, Lord God, those things that have been covered up, those gifts and callings that have been put behind the wall. Lord, that damage that's been done through trauma and disappointment and bad vows and word curses and everything that's come against us. Lord God, we want to be restored into that which you know that we are. And Lord, that we would be willing to do the work, Lord. That we would cooperate as you start to peel away the layers. And Father, that the beauty that you've placed in each one here would become evident, O God. Lord, I call back the pieces of the scattered souls, O God. You know where we left us. You know, O God, where the lost pieces of our souls are, and we call them back. Lord, I pray even tonight that there'd be clicking into place of those things that have been dead, those things that have been lies, those things that have been lost. I pray that you would bring it all back, O God, that we would be whole, that we would be holy, and that we would be about your business, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you have loved us back to life. That you have loved us back to life. And once again, I say live. 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 In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, this actually is one of the teachings I'm bringing to Wales, and I thought I'd try it out on you guys first. So you can be praying. I'm assuming there are refreshments. So please stay in fellowship. God bless you all.